You're listening to UnitedWeStrike.com Radio. Don't buy, don't comply. Ask why. UnitedWeStrike.com Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning back into the UnitedWeStrike.com Radio Marathon. It is Saturday, November 8th, 2014. My name is Matt Navarro. I am the host of the program, The New World Order Report, that you can hear on this radio broadcast at 10 a.m. Pacific Time and on Wolf Spirit Radio the first Saturday of the month at 10 a.m. This part of our show, we like to gather our hosts and guests to do a virtual roundtable. And it's always intriguing to hear the things that people have to say about what's on their mind. We tend to have a really strong intellectual group here. And I'm always fascinated by the conversation. And I always get to learn things from these people because they're just smart, intelligent people. So we go around the table and discuss issues at hand or whatever is on people's minds. So tonight joining us, we have Suzanne Posel, Vinnie Eastwood, Larry Pinkney, and Amrose, and all hosts here on the UnitedWeStrike.com Radio Marathon. So let's take a moment and go around the table and give a brief introduction, everybody about a minute introduction, then we'll pick the topic. I'll announce a topic that I wanted to focus on, and then we can have an open discussion if time allows. Suzanne, why don't you introduce yourself to our audience, please?
Hello. I'm Suzanne Posel. I'm the chief editor of OccupyCorporatism.com, theUSIndependent.com, and the founder of BeyondCBD.com.
Oh, that was quick.
Well, I was trying to keep it under a minnie.
Okay, well, that's great. Vinnie Eastwood in New Zealand there, a big voice in the media down there. Welcome and give our audience an idea of who you are.
All right, well, I guess I'm kind of like just an entertainer. Really, I like to make people laugh and have fun. So naturally, I talk about child kidnapping a lot and war and genocide and that kind of thing, because it's very difficult to listen to very serious topics over and over and over again without them latching some form of fear paradigm onto your brainstem and making you curl up in a fetal position and be really, really unhappy and upset and really, I should say, not very well adjusted, because knowing the crazy truth can make you go a little bit nuts. And I think that the way to subvert that infection on our minds is to have a laugh about it as often as we can, even gratuitously, because it's called gallows humor. When the chips are down, when times are dark, the only way you're going to survive it is if you can have a few laughs about it. And you can check me out at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. I have the most subscribed YouTube news channel in New Zealand, and I've done that with the help of my American, English, and Australian brethren for the most part, because I think we're all suffering the same problems from the same apparatus, and if we are all willing to work together, not work for one another, but actually work with one another, it's the only way that we're actually going to get freedom for all of our nations and keep us independent from each other, ironically.
Indeed, that's why we're here at UnitedWeStrike.com. You know, you were mentioning how we're still here year after year, month after month, and that's true. I'm always saying, if we all, as 7.5 billion of us, stood as one against the New World Order, we would win. They would have not be able to impose their genocide on us. And you know, if we live outside of that fear, yes, we can laugh. Larry Pinkney, why don't you give our audience a brief introduction, please?
Well, very quickly, thank you very much, Matt. Bottom line is, I'm a former editorial board member and columnist with the national publication of Black Commentator. I am currently an associate editor with Intrepid Report, intrepidreport.com. I am a veteran of the original, that is to say, the original Black Panther Party former Minister of Interior with Republic of New Africa, the only American to have successfully self-authored a case to the United Nations under the International Covenant of Civil and Political Rights. I continue to be a struggler in the people's struggle. I'm going to just leave it at that. I can go on and on and on. What does it matter? Bottom line is we're all in the struggle together. So that's it. Thank you.
Yes, we're all in it together, and we need to keep together like you and Phil were talking about earlier. You know, they try to balkanize us through this racial color political divide. Am Rosen, you were speaking earlier, too, about the human condition and how fear is used as a means to control. Give our audience a brief introduction, please, sir.
Oh, thank you, Matt. Hi, everybody. Yes, this is Am Rosen, your functional philosopher at large. And I've an author. You can find some samples of my latest two books on my website. But I'm also had an ongoing practice in facilitating body-mind integration. I'm working through my 39th year, using many, many disciplines and modalities, combining them. The most important work I do with consciousness. And my goal right now is to bring the proclivities of the healing art into place, not only for each person, but to heal the whole species at large. It's terribly out of balance. When you have imbalance, you get too much here, not enough there. It causes inflammation, breakdown, and degeneracy. And all of that, it's not a question of, for me, of fighting it. It's a question of overarching it, looking at all the components, where they're out of balance. Same thing I do when somebody comes to me, and seeing what's necessary to eliminate those blockages. I want to make better consumers out of everybody. I want you to feel so secure that you can't be put upon or played upon by all the behavioral conditioning that's going on and being propagated right now, so that you can finally demand the kind of goods and services that will truly satisfy at every level, and the people that can provide them, let them make their fortunes. The people that can't, let them fall by the wayside.
You know, I wish Monsanto would fall by the wayside so I can make better food choices with GMO labeling, which never got passed this Tuesday in Oregon. Monsanto spent over $20 million, and their cartel spent over $20 million, the most expensive election measure in Oregon history, defeated it. But, you know, it was close. It was a close vote, 51 to 49. You know, here's my topic for tonight, and I was hoping that Joanne could have joined us. She was on my show earlier, and she talks about she was describing her awakening process. She was an ordained minister. She had her own church and school, and had this epiphany, and she awakened, and since then she's been energized to find the truth and shed that baggage that we hold dearly as unawake people in the matrix. So we focus here a lot on the problems on UnitedWeStrike.com, because there's a lot of them. If you listen to Deborah Tavares today, how they're trying to restrict people from utilizing water in California, or you listen to Dr. Rima Lebeau, how they're restricting her from getting the word out about nano silver, and how the banks came after her, or like Finney's YouTube channel being taken down. All these problems we focus on because, yes, they're real problems, and free speech is being limited. But my drive tonight, my focus, I want to spend a few minutes with each one of you going around the table, giving your ideas about how we can help others awaken. We need to focus on solutions as well as the problem. So what are your ideas about helping others to awaken from the matrix? How do we get people out of that fear-based system, whatever fear it is, fear of Al-Qaeda, fear of Obama's drones, or fear of the Federal Reserve or the IRS, whatever fear they have us in? How do we help awaken our friends, families, and neighbors to the truth so that they can live outside of that box and start becoming part of the solution? Let's start with you, Suzanne.
Well, the problem that we have is we have really bad information, and we're supposed to make decisions on really bad information. So you can't make a good decision. You need actual evidence. You need to know who these people are. When we're electing people, like Vinny and I were discussing, you need to know who these people are, who they have lunch with, who they have accepted donations from, who they speak to, what affiliations they have, who they've donated to. In order to understand what's happening to us as far as media goes, we have to realize that opinion-based news is BS. It doesn't matter. It's garbage. Let it go. In one ear and out the other. Have a laugh, maybe pop some popcorn, but it's not something that you should make a conscious decision about your life or the structure of your life. None of that information should have any bearing on your existence at all. Unless actual facts are being brought and evidence to show who is exactly doing what and when they did it and how they did it and who funded it, we're not discussing anything real. We're discussing supposition and opinions. And I think that the main problem with trying to wake people up is that there's no evidence brought forth, or the evidence can be punched through. And as a paralegal, my job was to take in the information from the client and then build their case. Go in and sit down in a law library and look up cases, primary sources of law, secondary sources of law, maybe an amicus brief if there was an organization that might want to speak on behalf of the client. These things could be brought in court because this is what's going to back up their case, as including all of the evidence that they have that what they're saying is true. And that's all that matters. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. If you want to live in a world where opinions reign king, then listen to most of the media, and I'm lumping all media into it. Listen to it, buy their products, you know, go to their functions, support them as much as you want. Nothing's ever going to change except their pocketbook. And so as you're helping them grow, you're helping them deceive more and more people. That's wonderful. Keep doing that. If you're voting for the Council on Foreign Relations or the Council on National Policy, at least know what you're doing. So that way you can make an informed decision if that's where you want to go, if that's the agenda that you want passed through. But if it's not, then take a step back and stop reacting to the information that you're being given. Realize when you're being given opinions that have no basis in reality, and start to deal in facts. Throw everything out, and when there's a fact involved, scrutinize that fact and make sure that it's credible. And then base your opinion on that, or base your decision on that.
You know, I totally agree with that. Having, I guess, the right information, honest information, or at least as honest as it can be, and actual factual information, I think is part of that process of awakening. Without that information, you would still be locked in that matrix. Like, you know, if you never pulled yourself out of the CNN channel or the Fox News channel and put yourself into shows like this, you'd never hear alternative views, because the government controls, not only the government, the corporate media is controlled by banks and the government, so they'll never let you hear the truth. So your point's well taken. Vinny, you're all about exposing the truth down there. What are your thoughts about how we can help our fellow citizen to awaken from the matrix? Although you do that already.
Well, you've got to try and destroy their lives somewhat, you know, like call the cops on somebody, tell the cops that these people have like a large quantity of drugs in their home or something, and they'll be sitting there, you know, just happy and Larry, you know, drinking a beer, watching the mainstream news, and all of a sudden a whole bunch of these black masks and uniforms and guns and stuff just start coming in and pointing at your children's heads, and they shoot your dog. And then all of a sudden, you don't support the establishment anymore, you know? How about that? If you become one of its victims, you stop wanting to support it passively, right? And I'm not saying, you know, this in a reality context, like, you know, just go and falsely accuse people of stuff to the thug cops and really destroy their life. What I'm saying is that once that does happen to you, you will change your life, because then you're given a choice, because you cannot deny what's in front of you. It is suffering and pain and trauma and despair that teaches us the most important lessons in life. And sometimes you have to share those lessons with other people, regardless of whether or not they want to hear it. And sometimes it seems to me like sort of like the Captain America serum, you know, once it gets injected into you, good becomes great, bad becomes worse. And some people don't actually take it that well or are capable of converting it into something good. If something bad happens to you and you're incapable of transmuting it and flipping it around and making a important realization come into your life, to make important actions part of your life, if you stop passively participating and start actively participating in building a better world, that is a way to open people up to the truth. Because it is when you're comfortable, when you are not challenged, you do not grow. You do not evolve. You do not change. And I think that we've, in the Western world in particular, become so comfortable, so enamored with convenience and mindless entertainment that the second something real comes into our life that requires our action, we don't know how to react to it. And it is upon those people who realize this. I've always said for a long time, he who has the ability has the responsibility. If you have the ability to change something, then you have a responsibility to act on that. But most of the time, your brain will pull the emergency brake and you stop yourself from doing it. And if you haven't done something before, you know, like if you haven't been to a protest, if you haven't written an article, if you haven't, chased a politician down the road with a megaphone and called him a scumbag and told him to walk a little bit faster because it's good for his weight loss issues, then go out and do it, you know, and try to have some fun while you're doing it, because this is not a fun movement to be a part of a lot of the time. And most of us aren't here because it's all fun and happy and lovey-dovey. We're in it for the most part, as far as I know, from interviewing people across the world, across a number of different issues, is that we're doing it out of moral obligation. And if you have that motivation to help people and you're obligated to do it and nobody's telling you to, it means it's not like a job. A job is like you go in there from 9 to 5 and then you leave at 5. You start working at 9 and then that's it. And the rest of it, you're on your own recognizance. And usually it's just to recover from the work that you've done during the day by mindlessly plying yourself with random crap from the television. And when you're under a moral obligation, on the other hand, as opposed to a work commitment, you work long past 5 p.m., you get up earlier and start working before 9 a.m. and you get more work done. And I was thinking about this the other day, like I stood in front of a protest down in Hamilton, and everything that I was wearing, every item of clothing, every piece of technology that I had, the cameras, the megaphones, the wireless mics and the whole nine yards, everything that I have has actually been donated to me. Now, my last job that I had was selling, you know, business landline deals and broadband packages, toll calls and things of that nature for Vodafone. And my paycheck when I left that job to become an activist was $4,000 after tax and $11,900 worth of shopping vouchers for a big mall chain that we've got here called Westfields. Now, that was for a month's work. And now, instead of earning those big bucks, selling BS and things that don't actually really change the future of humanity, I'm down to about maybe $350 a week, give or take, you know, maybe 400 if I'm lucky. And that allows me one thing really and one thing only, survival and the ability to work. And I think that it is important for all of us in this movement to acknowledge our audiences, and quite a lot for the contributions that they give, because without people listening to us, without people caring, without people sharing the information, we would have nothing. I'm very grateful.
I think sharing that information is correct. You're right. I think as more people's oxes get gored by the government through whatever means, then they'll start waking up. I just hope through efforts that, you know, people take on the challenge of helping to do something in their own communities with their own friends and families to help waking them up. It might not be pleasant information, like you said, but, you know, force them to listen. They may not want to hear it, but keep dropping those seeds. So someday that seed will germinate and perhaps blossom, and they'll be another awake person, and they'll be motivated to take action. Maybe they'll become the next Vinnie Eastwood. Larry Pinkney, what are your thoughts of how we help our fellow human being break free of the matrix?
Well, first of all, Matt, I want to thank you very much for having me on the program and speaking on behalf of myself and my comrade brother, Phil Racino, of We Cannot Be Silent radio. I just want to say this. Look, bottom line is this. You know, we need to unplug from this matrix. I'm going to say that again. We need to unplug. That's UN. Unplug from the matrix. You know, whether we're watching something over in England or Ireland or where New Zealand or in the fascist United States of America, the bottom line is we need to unplug. And whether people like it or not, it's very interesting to me that people see their reality. Everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people see their reality every day. Yet they come home, turn on the television, you know, that propaganda BS that they get, or the radio, and they know that what they're hearing is a lie. Unplug, hello people, unplug from it. Because what is really, really important is what we see in our own communities, our own local communities every single day. That's what counts. That's national news. That's local news. That's international news. What's happening in our own community every single day. Because we are all interrelated. We need to understand that. Stop playing this whole jive-ass bourgeois game of, oh, you know, I don't use the fancy terms. I don't have fancy degrees. I'm just a veteran of the Black Panther Party, blah, blah, blah. Okay? I don't even go to the fancy degrees or all the rhetoric. I deal with the bottom line, and the bottom line is that people are being blood-sucked. But one of the reasons we are being blood-sucked is because we allow ourselves to be blood-sucked. We turn on CNN, or PBS, or ABC, or Fox News, or whatever they want to call it. BBC as well. BBC is a joke. A sick joke. But the bottom line is, we need to start relating one to the other. One to the other. Black, white, brown, red, yellow. Whether we like it or not. Because the only way we are going to survive and to thrive, and I do mean thrive, as humanity, is when we start understanding that we, the people, everyday ordinary people, are the ones who have to make the decision. We, and only we, not from the top down, but from the bottom up, are the only ones who can make the decisions, including our mistakes, including our successes, including all of that. Okay? So that, Matt, is what I believe we need to be doing. You know, we have the power. Why do we act like we don't? Why? Well, we act like we don't because we plug in to this jive time vomit stream media. And we know it's a lie. Well, it's time for us to not only know it's a lie, but to say we reject it. We will not accept it. So I'm going to just turn off for now, for what it's worth, and just say, you know, we do have the power. It's time for us to stop BSing with each other. It's time for us to stop all this intellectual masturbation. It's time for us to say, you know what, We need to do the hard job, the important job of linking up each with the other. Black, white, brown, red, yellow, male and female. That's what we have to do. And as we said back in the day in the original Black Panther Party, all power to the people. And that's what all power to the people meant then, and more importantly, means now in 2014.
We have that little saying here at United We Strike, don't buy, don't comply, ask why. What you're saying is don't comply. And we shouldn't be complying. We need to pull ourselves out of that TV and start pointing our friends and family towards programs like this and other websites that give out good, accurate, unfiltered information. And I think that'll be helpful. Amrozen, what are your ideas about how we help awaken our friends, families, and neighbors?
All right. Thank you. The Matrix, the interactive social strands of mutual dependence that we're all seem stuck in. But that matrix, is the social fabric, is just a reflection of the inner state of confusion that most people are dealing with personally. You know, you're never afraid of what you actually understand. Brilliant ideas are not understanding, but what you don't understand is always potentially a threat, and we react to it. As I like to point out, most of this stuff is coming from an irrational, subconscious level. When people come to me, I'm trying to set some new standards, what I call psychological ethical etiquettes. And one of the first things I make them aware of is that I'm not going to make you aware of things that you're dependent on, even if it's your confusion, your misery, your self-flagellation, unless I have the skill, the insight, and the technique to help you quickly resolve it. I'm not going to rub your face in it for the sake of saying, yeah, it's screwed up and you got problems. I'm only going to bring it up so I can help you clear it out once and for all and understand how it was there, why it was there, and what it means to be free of it. It's a question of, you know, the great shame that everybody carries around, if you look at it, whatever they think they might be shamed about, is that I gave into my fears. I didn't really do what I wanted to do, go for what I knew was better. I don't know why, but I felt afraid to. Fear, whatever the fear, whether it's a momentary anxiety, what was that about, or whether you're stuck in psychotic paranoia and you can't get out of it, all fear is defended misunderstanding. Now, we can have brilliant, accurate, you know, information that we can quote. That doesn't mean that you've actually learned how to access the implications of what that information is offering you and how to integrate it throughout your nervous system, how to free yourself. So while everybody is making some brilliant, valiant points, when you ask somebody to break away from their dependency, but, you know, they're scared. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to replace it with. To fight against something, well, you become a warrior. But not everybody has that thing. Rather than getting away from what isn't working, it's to move towards a more balanced, integrated state. And in the process of doing that, whatever is in the way, whatever your level of development, your experiences, it'll come up. And that's an opportunity, not something to run away from. Once you get the hang of it, you go, oh, good, what is this? It's another knot in my psyche. And as soon as I understand it, because healing is a process of becoming conscious, not just thinking about it, but actually seeing what's going on, where the circuits have been stopped or aberrated. Once you see it and free yourself from it, that energy that was knotted up becomes returned to you. You can't be pushed and shoved around. Now, there is a primal level of fear that is the basis for every fear that anybody's ever had. And it's a misunderstanding in human development. It happens for each one of us as we go through the early developmental stage before we have any intellect, before we can think, don't have any tools, can scrutinize. It happens in our species development in its primitive past. And so while people need to look at what's resulted from all this, they need to be able to free themselves up from the irrationality of their fear, which is making them sabotage themselves or trade off, and come into a place where they're not running away from something, but they're moving towards something more inclusive. Just as a thought.
I agree with you that we have to get out of that fear, because that fear is driven by, like we were talking about, coming from the corporate media, the fear of Ebola, the fear of Al-Qaeda, the fear of ISIS, the fear of global warming. That fear we have to get away from, you know.
But there's a difference, Matt, between if you can make sense out of an emotion, a feeling, you start to gain control of it. Fear makes no sense. It's nebulous. But caution makes sense. There's something here I haven't quite mastered. I don't know, have all the ways of dealing with it intelligently, but I know I have to handle it. Now I'm approaching it. We want to get rid of that automatic shutdown response that's there. And, you know, that's the second Geiger. If you can just say, whenever you're experiencing any degree of fear, doubt, confusion, anxiety, if you recognize to yourself, you don't have to share it if you don't want to, that there's something here I don't yet really understand, then you don't have to defend it. You become open and say, well, what's missing? Here's what I thought. Where did this come from? Where is it or isn't it working? As soon as you can do that, you start to gain a handhold on the fear. So it's short-circuiting that mechanism that makes you shut down and waste a lot of physical vitality.
You know, that's kind of exactly what I was going to focus on. I wanted to focus on how Joanne had gotten over that fear and was able to then start seeing the bigger picture. You, if you get past that point of, okay, why is this affecting me like that, like you say, then you can start looking over the edge of that box that prevents you from seeing the actual truth. You know, I'm always an advocate for inclusiveness and information. You know, we have a great opportunity. It's that time of year where families gather together. I don't care if you celebrate religious holidays or not. But this time of year, for most people, you know, they'll spend time with their families. And I plan to as well. Usually it's the crazy Uncle Matt talking about all these things. And you know, the older folks in my family, they kind of roll their eyes in the back of the head and they go, well, here he goes again. But you know what the effect is? Their kids. Their kids have been hearing me for all these years. And they're starting to grow up seeing this all for themselves. And they're becoming activists and advocates for the truth out there. So we have an opportunity as a society to help our friends, families, and neighbors as we gather throughout the holiday season to help keep planting those seeds. A topic to get into is food, GMO foods, because everybody has to eat. So did you know GMO corn was tested in France and shown to decrease mortality and increase cancer? And then, you know, they might be able to listen then, because it's something that they have to think about, because that's what they're putting in their mouth. You know, you shove that turkey in your mouth, is that a GMO-fed turkey you're eating? So I would encourage folks to think about how they can approach their families in this holiday season, because that's how we awaken them. We plant those seeds, and someday those seeds will flourish, because their ox will be gored. Maybe they start getting a digestive issue from eating BT corn-laced products. Maybe, you know, they have gluten intolerance where they never did before, or acid reflux disease where they never had before, and they might start thinking about that. So that's what I would encourage folks to do. We have about 20 minutes left, so we will go back around the table and get whatever's on everyone's mind. We can open the table up to just a general discussion, and we'll try to wrap it up here at the bottom of the hour. Suzanne, your thoughts?
Well, I've written a couple of articles this week about the exposure of journalism. The FBI came out and said, yeah, we used a fake reporter, an FBI agent, to infiltrate the Seattle PI and the Associated Press. the death of journalism is extremely important. Journalism is dying. And what is replacing it is entertainment and tabloid journalism, for lack of a better term. And that is sad. And as a journalist, I'm appalled. And so what's most important to me is that we don't let journalism die. Because with a technological age where we don't want to read a book, we'd rather listen to an audio tape or watch a documentary. We're not getting the same amount of information in the same way that we used to. And I don't think we understand a lot of the information that we're getting. It seems plausible, and anything can seem plausible. It's possible that a unicorn is going to run in front of my house, but I'm more interested in the probability of that happening so that I know whether or not I'm going to hit a unicorn as I'm pulling out of my driveway. Journalism is extremely important because that is how we expose corruption. And if we're not exposing actual corruption and we're just basically talking smack about people, then we're not going to solve anything and nothing's going to change. So that's what's important to me right now, the death of journalism. Unfortunately, I think we're watching the beginning of the death pangs.
Well, maybe for the corporate-controlled media, they're losing audience and they're desperate. We have the Oregonian newspaper here in Oregon, which was a really large daily with a lot of subscribers. And that paper used to be very thick, even on a daily basis, and really, really thick on Sundays. Now, even the Sunday paper is like a half a paper. And they were just, you know, more of that corporate-controlled press. You're seeing this with CNN. You're seeing this with all the other corporate-controlled media. Yeah, so I encourage that death of journalism. What I don't like seeing is that people like yourself or others in the independent media who are trying to expose things, like Dr. Reba is being persecuted for having an opinion.
Well, I just want to make a mention here before we go on. I'm 2 hours away from the shooting that happened here in Washington in Marysville at the high school. And I can tell you, because I've spoken to the families whose children have passed away in the hospital and some died on the scene, and children who were splattered with blood in the cafeteria where that happened. And I can tell you for a fact that there are a lot of alternative outlets as well as mainstream outlets who put out absolute BS about what happened at that school. And so that prompted me as a responsible journalist to start thinking about what are we reporting on when we're not physically there? And what kind of facts are we using to spew out garbage to the audience, to convince them of things that aren't true, when things that actually did happen and things that we can actually prevent next time and maybe help people in the interim so that it doesn't happen again, those things fall to the wayside when everyone in alternative audiences and in mainstream audiences are being lied to about what actually happens. So when I talk about the death of journalism, I'm just not talking about mainstream. Whatever this independent alternative journalism is, the majority of it is tabloid garbage. And if there is ever going to be truth in media, then we have to start looking at actual facts and doing real journalistic reporting. Otherwise, we're just making a bunch of media commentators a bunch of money. And media commentators are telling you their opinion, and their opinion isn't worth anything.
Especially if it's not based on facts. And Suzanne and I had a really good show about this actually on the 5th of September. And if you want to go look at that, just go to my website, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, and search Rise of the Tabloids, and listen to the Hour 2 archive there in order to explain it in more detail. Now, I was thinking the death of journalism is something that's kind of, you know, one of the more important issues in this movement, because even in the alternative press, we're not practicing journalism, and in fact, we get aggressive about it. I was on somebody's show once, and they were saying something along the lines of reporting this, that, and the other, and I was like, well, I don't know about that, because in the practice of journalism, you're supposed to have like three independent, verifiable sources in order to claim something as fact kind of thing. You know, you've got to have facts to back it up. And I kind of got interrupted in the middle of saying that, like, the mainstream, blah, 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 you know, this kind of thing. And I just waited for like 5 minutes for them to just finish their rant. And I was like, are you done? Okay, because you're all wrong. because you've missed one important fact. What's that? You've mistaken the mainstream media for people who practice journalism. Okay? They don't. What are they practicing? Propaganda. Now, when I was in sixth form, 16 years old at school, I did a journalism class in high school. And it was quite interesting because the trivium that Jan Irvin talks about quite a lot is the who, what, when, where, why, and how. And in fact, that's the only training you ever really get in terms of journalism, okay? Before you report something, you need to know the answers to those questions. Who, what, when, where, why, and how, you know? And that's pretty straightforward. Because if you know all the answers to all of those questions, then it becomes very clear that you're actually familiar with the subject material. But most people in our movement, you ask them one question, who was involved, and they don't know. What actually happened, they don't know. How did it, you know? That's the thing. If we're talking about things that are our opinion, we haven't researched into it, and we don't even care when we're wrong, and we don't admit it, and we actually try to defend the fact that we're wrong. It's just insane. It's counterintuitive. And, you know, personally, I like it when I say something and then somebody says, actually, Vinny, you're wrong, and here's the evidence. Because that actually allows me, as, you know, an alleged journalist, to correct my mistakes, you know? Because I don't really have any ego about it or emotional attachment to the things that I think. They're just ideas. It's just a way of life. You don't need to go nuts about it.
I applaud that. I applaud wanting to bring the truth as best you can provide it to the public. I think that's what's going to help in the end. I mean, we don't have all the pieces of the puzzle. We all can be part of the solution, though. Larry Pinkney, what's on your mind? Do you want to continue this or talk about something else?
Well, I'll continue it to the point of saying this. Look, I've been writing for well over 45 years as a quote-unquote journalist. We don't have journalism today. Whether it's in the United States or in the so-called West in general. And the fact of the matter is that we need to understand that this whole matter, this whole situation, this whole scenario needs to be redefined. I repeat, redefined. Okay? While I certainly applaud the statements of the previous speakers, I hope I'm not going to insult anyone, but I am what I am. I got to say what it is. You know, this is all just a bunch of BS, and I'm not talking about this program at all. I think this program is fantastic and extremely important. But by this being BS, I mean, we need to understand that we are already in a situation where people are totally manipulated. Okay, by the nonsense, the BS, if you will, that they get every single day from the so-called press, so-called journalists. And I go back to my original point that I made earlier. I think we need to be encouraging people, everyday ordinary people, to unplug from this nonsense, to unplug quickly from this nonsense. And to sanitize their brains. Because we have common sense. But people today, whether it's in New Zealand, whether it's in the United States, whether it's in Britain, whether it's in Africa, or other parts for that matter, even in Europe, throughout the world, people unfortunately throughout Mother Earth, particularly the West, the so-called West, do not use their common sense. They do everything else. They try to find this rationale or that rationale. I'm not into rationale. I'm into reality. And we need to be dealing with reality from the standpoint of what we can do about it, and we can do a lot about it. All this hopelessness, there should be no hopelessness. But that's because the media pumps it out. And we play into it. Instead of saying, wait a minute, that's the corporate stream, vomit stream, media. We shouldn't even be plugged into that. We should be plugged in to each other, like all the beautiful people that you have right now on this program. That's who we plug into, each other, okay? And we come up with ideas and solutions, or at least possible solutions. And this is where I'm coming from. So for what it's worth, Matt, you know, I think that we need to move way beyond, and I don't mean to be insulting anybody, but I'm not an intellectual masturbator. I'm from the streets. I'm from the hood. You dig? And I come from a level of, let me get to my brothers and sisters of all colors, black, white, brown, red, and yellow. Let me get to my brothers and sisters where their hearts are, where they see and feel. I don't need to give them no special terms. Just let me touch them at where they are. And if I can do that, then we're going to have, well, not just me, and I shouldn't, let me take that back. Not if I can do that. If we can do that, we're going to have a revolution, a people's revolution, worldwide, throughout Mother Earth, that's going to bring about some significant, substantial change for the betterment of humanity.
I'm hoping that's the case, and that's why I sit here every month, the second Saturday of every month, on this program, because that's what I want to see. Each one of us helping everyone we can, at whatever level that they're able to understand, to awaken to all this. I feel like Morpheus handing out red pills. Am Rosen, you're pretty good about handing out red pills, right?
Whatever works, yeah. If it really does work. Listen, if we're consider it from health, whether we're talking about physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual, health is seductive. If I can introduce you, if you can be introduced into a better state of vitality, of mental clarity, of energy, once it's touched you, even for a moment, you may not know how or why, you'll be haunted by the neurological access that you've gained, and you'll never really feel satisfied until that becomes an easily accessible part of you that you can do what you want with. There's two sides to health, and we're talking about getting away from the negative, which is very important to call it out and recognize it for the blockages it's created and the damage those blockages are doing. That's where most people are fixated. It also forms the basis of addiction. Most people, there has to be host receptivity before any parasite, whether it's a physical organism or whether it's a bit of mental propaganda, can take effect. And once somebody experiences something and they're stuck between, I want to feel better, but there's all this stuff, the inner uncertainty, the inner insecurity, they'll do anything to distract themselves away from that. And that's where entertainment or any other way of escaping can become addictive. But entertainment's not good or bad. It can be a lot of fun. The question is, are you trying to get away from something you don't know how to handle? Are you trying to move towards a more progressive state, a more open state, a more a self-actualized state? If you are, then you're not susceptible. Your movement brings in more vitality. I like to say you've never met a person who's depressed who's full of physical vitality. They may be stupid or crazy, but they're not depressed. So half of the game is energy, the other half is consciousness. If you have an abundance of physical vitality, well, then you get through the tasks of the day. Your body is feeding you. If you don't have that, you waste a lot of mental energy trying to drag the body around because you have to perform. That's wearisome, exhausting, and it further depletes the body. Whereas if you have that excess of physical vitality, the mind is free to move into a more creative realm and bring in whole new vistas, whole new accesses to energy and the spaces that they can play with. So I want to intrigue everybody with the idea of asking the question, well, just how good can I feel? How safely and effectively can I up the ante on the physical vitality, the mental clarity, the stamina? Because once you have that, you can't be pushed around. Nobody can push your buttons unless you want them to, and if you don't like what they're doing, you can take them back. But since
I disagree with that, but okay.
Yeah, please, Vinny, I'd love to hear your disagreement.
But it's just like nobody can push your buttons unless the thing. It's like the brain doesn't work like that, man. It doesn't have a firewall. If you see somebody like ruthlessly insulting you and being really cruel and mean or whatever, and you're getting emails all the time, if you don't have a reaction to it, there's something kind of wrong with you. I mean, it's like you can't stop the nastiness and the abuse from coming across in somebody's abusive message unless you don't read it. It's just how you react to it kind of thing. Do you fly off the handle and get really angry with them and make a big deal about it? Or do you just go block and the scum is gone? Me, preferably, I prefer the block function because, it's just a waste of your time a lot of the time because people are just freaking crazy, nowadays, you know, and, sometimes it just sounds like there's like a chicken freaking out in my office or something. You know?
Well, you know, listen, you said how you react to it. And this is the whole thing. If we were walking, visiting, mind you, an insane asylum where people are really lost it and somebody comes up to you, their eyes are all askance, they're drooling saliva, and they're saying, mumbling about how they're going to have sex with the president after they beat up the Martians, I don't think you'd react. Oh, sure you will, darling, and I hope it works out for you, but you wouldn't take it personally. So where do you draw the line? Well, that's so obvious, you don't get involved. So sure, people are going to hit you, they're going to try to do to you what they've done to themselves. They're living in that. How you respond, though, you can have some control. I'm not talking about denial, avoidance, or escape. Yeah, it's there. But I save the emotions for the good times. If there's confusion, it's not the place for that level. It's the place for the clear-thinking individual. Aha, here's what you're putting out. Here's where it's coming from. Here's where you're stuck. Here's why you're manifesting it. Great. I don't have to waste my feelings, my responses on that. It's a question, Vinny, of having that kind of access and control so you can change and keep changing anytime you get better information till your inner state is totally in harmony with how you like to see things.
I have to say, for what it's worth, I disagree with that.
Oh, please.
I totally disagree with that. And,
please.
And you know what? Dude, I spent 10 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
In some of the worst prisons in this nation. And you're talking, I don't even know what the hell you're talking about. You know,
well,
the bottom line, wait a minute. The bottom line is that if you're going to relate to people, you relate to people at where they are. Okay? This stuff you're talking, and I mean no disrespect.
I understand.
Okay? Mm-hmm. But, you know, you want to go there and relate to people at where they are, not where, you know, it's not about feeling good, feeling bad. It's about where they are, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And I personally, and again, with no disrespect intended, you know, I hear all of this intellectual stuff coming out. But this is intellectual stuff. I deal with everyday, ordinary, struggling people who try to pay their rent, try to pay their bills, try to pay their mortgages, try to keep from being homeless. And you're talking about stuff that's like way up on Mars, if you will, intellectually speaking.
Well,
Go ahead. Sorry.
I value your comments. Listen, when you express it, you have to express it through the intellect. That's how we use the words. But what I'm saying is not based on intellectual conjecture. I'd be happy to give you the chapter and verse of it. I'm saying this is the way it works. What I'm saying is, yes, you want to be so secure that you can open up, but that's your confusion. If two people are drowning, should I stay and keep you company, or should I get to land and throw you a rope? I see what you're going through. In 39 years of practice, I've dealt with everybody, every walk of life. I've had billionaires and movie stars. I've had people
who are
literate.
Well, I've been in the struggle for over 45 years.
And I can't say
to you that I've dealt with everybody, okay?
Okay?
But what I can say to you is that the bottom line is that we have to relate to people where they are. And it seems to me mm-hmm. that, you know, with all due respect,
please.
That, you know, we are, and I say we collectively, including myself, because I'm a part of this program, that we are forgetting that we have brothers and sisters listening to this program who are coming from levels that I quite frankly wonder if we're relating to the level at which those brothers and sisters are coming from, all right? And while I respect, okay, the intellect that you may have, I also, first and foremost, respect the everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, yellow people, everyday, ordinary people, irregardless of their damn color or gender, all right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And to me, having been through some direct personal experiences in the belly of the beast as a prisoner, okay, mm-hmm. who's been tortured, who knows what that's about, I'm saying, wait a minute. Can we come up with some other way where we can put forth our ideas? I think you have some wonderful ideas, quite frankly.
I truly appreciate what you're saying.
I'm just asking that perhaps you can present them in a more down-to-earth way. That's all.
Okay, well, you know how Matt mentioned he goes home and he's the crazy uncle, or to the older people he's this or that, but what he said was very valuable. The kids who have been watching the hypocrisy, they don't understand it. They feel caught up in it, see something different, something new. It intrigues them. It provokes them. He's not talking down to them, but he is bringing in something that they haven't experienced because it's integrated through his experiences. I go to where everybody is that I see, but I want to bring them, but not to where I am. I want to find out what they need to recover from where they are. If they want more, there's always more. And I think what you're saying and what you've done, I salute you and thank you, because I know I can hear it in you, and I really appreciate it. But I'm saying there are ways to short-circuit this mess. Yes, talk to people. What is your way of looking things? What's your point of development? How do you need to be addressed to make these ideas relevant? But the information, this new way of handling things, so that I've seen, I don't care if they're illiterate, what I'm talking about works with everybody, but it has to be, of course, that's the art of individual application. What is it that you need to adjust to feel more comfortable, to kick out the jams, so whatever your proclivities, whatever your situation, whatever you have to deal with, you can move on without being dragged down by the blows that you've absorbed? Not everybody has...
My brother.
Yes, please.
I disagree with him.
Good.
It's not about being more comfortable. I have a saying that I put out to hundreds of thousands of people all over the Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Comfortable people do not make change. Uncomfortable people make change. All right? It's not about me making people comfortable. It's about me doing the best I can to, number one, reaching people with where they are, and number two, understanding that their uncomfortableness absolutely demands that they must creatively come up with ways to change the system, both internally for themselves, individually, and collectively, okay? And so, I don't believe in this comfort stuff that you're talking about, if I understand it.
What
I'm thinking about is kind of like the traumas that we suffer, the pain. I've interviewed a lot of people who've been tortured, arrested for no reason, had their children taken off them and had them be raped and things like that, and been under statutory management, had their homes taken off them or burnt down by cops and all this kind of jazz. And what these people do in order to compensate for that is not ignore these things that have happened to them, but in fact they have to learn somehow how to get that baggage and be able to keep moving forward while never forgetting that that baggage is there. Because if you're going to fight the system, it is imperative that you remember every day why you are fighting the system, so that you do not forget the pain and the suffering that was your very motivation.
right.
Yeah, but you don't want to forget it, but you don't have to be imbued with it. In other words, what are they fighting the system for? To get a better life. Let's give them a glimpse of what that can mean, so while they're handling this crap, they have something positive, more expansive towards.
Well, that's all very well, but in my opinion, I mean, I've talked to elders in the Maori tribes here, mm-hmm. and the reason why they fight the system and the reason why they try to help others is not for themselves to live a better life, children to have a better life. It's actually only for those who have not experienced life yet, only those who have yet to be born. And I believe that it is through the self-sacrifice for those people you have never met and may never meet in your entire life that you actually have the correct motivation, because then it is not about yourself. It is not about anybody you know. It is not about anything you have experienced. It is only doing the right thing for things that do not yet exist for the future, for the next generation.
That's a noble point, Vinny, because that's why I am here, like I said, is to unite humanity, or at least that is my hope, that through our discussions, you know, we can open up people's minds and help them see what's actually going on in this world. Like Larry was saying, you have to reach them at their own level. And you're right, Vinny, you have to not forget that painful encounter, whatever it is, when your ox is gored, but you have to, like Am is saying, overcome that so you can persevere and be more vital. And I think that's the point here. So let's go ahead and wrap it up. And it was a great discussion, and I'm glad you all chimed in there, because I'm hoping it allows our audience to get a better understanding of you know, the situation that we're in, and hopefully they can take this information and inspiration to help inform their friends, families, and neighbors so that we don't have to keep coming back here at UnitedWeStrike.com. Let's go back around. Closing thoughts, self-promotion, Suzanne Pozol.
I'm just happy to be part of this and listen to open conversation. Even if people disagree with each other, it's wonderful to see respect and dignity being given to each person, even if it's opposing positions. And I think that that's what we need to understand here. That example needs to be utilized whenever we have a conversation, especially if we have opposing views. So thank you guys very much for doing that. And again, OccupyCorporatism.com is my website, the U.S. Independent as well, and BeyondCBD.com. And thank you very much, everyone, for having me today.
We appreciate your participation every month. Suzanne, you're one of the brightest women I know of. And I appreciate the efforts you do to help inform others in a more truthful manner. You know, you have the drive to be factual and truthful, and I appreciate that. Vinny Eastwood, down there in New Zealand. What time is it there?
I think it's like 2:36 p.m. or something like that on a Sunday. So we're a day ahead and hours behind. It's pretty freaking weird.
2:36 anyway, p.m. So you had to wake up real early to get on with us, right?
Yeah. I mean, no, seriously, man, I'm like sleep deprived. I've been been cycling through kilos of coffee. It's just been the tough ride. But anyway, you can go and check out my website, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. It's of course thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news. And when I'm going out with the cameras and everything covering protests, public meetings, my persona is Mr. News. Have anybody here Mr. News before? Of course you have. And you can go check out the videos of that at youtube.com/ Mr. News Guerrilla Media, or just search Vinny Eastwood on YouTube. There's thousands and thousands of videos, thousands and thousands of interviews on my website, and it's all available for free to the public, because let's face it, man, if you're trying to wake up humanity, making them pay for it ain't gonna help very much.
Well, we thank you for all you do down there, and I encourage you to keep doing what you do, because 20 years from now, hopefully, we're not doing this, and we've inspired enough people that we can just sit back and watch football and drink beer.
Matt, it's not a choice. It's a lack of options. I'll leave it at that.
Morally, we have to do what we do. Larry Pinkney, always a pleasure to have you on. Your voice is a strong one. I like the inspiration in it. I think you reach a lot of people cross-culturally, cross-colors. Closing thoughts and your websites, and how do we listen to you?
My closing thought is I want to thank all the brothers and sisters, Suzanne, all of you. All of you. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this program. Matt, much love and strength to you. You know, we're going to keep this discussion going, I'm quite sure. And you can read anything that I write, anything that programs I've been on at blackactivistwg.org. That's blackactivistwg.org. That stands for, the WG stands for writersguild.org. So, thank you so much. I think that what we're doing is extremely important. I think that this program is showing people how, showing our sisters and brothers, how we can not only disagree, but not only disagree, but we can come together in our disagreement. Isn't that great? All power to the people.
It's on the points we agree that we should come together and collaborate. And those points that we disagree, sometimes we can just leave them for another time. Preferably the time when we're not about to be ruthlessly dominated and exterminated by ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery.
Right. Even if we disagree, we can work towards a similar goal, and that's our individual freedom, sovereignty, and hopefully saving genocide from encroaching on the earth.
Doing that, we need to look on the lighter side of genocide on once in a while.
Yeah, having a sense of humor does help. Aram Rosen, your closing thoughts and self-promotion, please.
Well, thank you. Well, yeah. When I lose my sense of humor, I look in the mirror. It comes right back to me. Vinny, Larry, and of course Suzanne and Matt, I love to discuss this more. And believe me, if we ever had a chance to share, love to clarify what I'm saying. I think you would find I'm really offering something new. And it's hard when you're bringing in a new perspective, not just intellectually, but with actual tools. I don't want to be believed. I want to be so clear that I can show it to you, demonstrate it to you logically, clearly, and make it independently accessible to you. This is what I want to bring. It's not a question of forget. I don't want people to forget anything. There's a lot of crap, and you better be aware of it, because if you're not, they'll keep doing it to you. But forgiveness, to me, is re-owning the circuitry. In other words, the circuitry's been hurt, damaged. Let's heal it. Let's give you full access. Don't forget how it got to be there, why it was, but let's not be stuck in it. There is movement away from things that are unfair and unjust, and yeah, that's a motivating factor. But for love, people will die. For something more inclusive, something that it lifts you up and gives you a better place to go, you will strive. Inner comfort should make you more primed to move towards what's next. What else is available? How can we do this? It shouldn't make you lazy. It's making you lazy. That's just escapism and distraction. And with all that, it's such an honor and a joy for me to be able to participate with all of you. I know we won't be talking next month, so I wish you all the happiest of holidays, however you want to celebrate. And my website, again, is www.lifegame.com. A lot of things to explore on there. And if anybody has any questions, love to hear from you. Thank you all.
Thanks, Am. You know, we do have our differences, but as long as we can be respectful to each other, we can move forward and hopefully turn this new old order around. My name is Matt.
Thank God for, Matt, I was just going to say thank God for our differences, because imagine how boring and unevolved the entire human species would be if we were all the exact same.
Ah, vive la différence!
Indeed. So my name is Matt Navarro, and my website is nwodor.com, nwodor.com. If you go up there, you'll find an interview I did right on the front page. You can link to it. I did with Leo Zagami, a current grandmaster of an Illuminati order, and he spells out the new world order plan from what he sees the Illuminati's perspective is, and he points towards a Rockefeller Foundation document that describes using Ebola or an Ebola-like virus to drastically reduce the world's population. So I invite you to go up there.
I have a joke about that, Matt.
Oh, go ahead.
What do you call a Freemasonic photographer? Grandmaster Flash.
That's funny.
And I go one more. What's the difference between Obama and Ebola? One infects you, liquefies your insides, and then kills you, and the other one is Ebola.
Well, you know, that's like the old joke. What's the difference between herpes and true love? Herpes lasts forever.
Well, you know, I appreciate all of your participation, and I appreciate all our other hosts here at UnitedWeStrike.com, and I appreciate our audience listening in every month. And you know, we have to stay on this. We have to keep trying to do what we do. We're morally obligated to do this. If you're awake, then you have a moral obligation to help awaken others as well. Like Larry Pinkney says, each one reach one, each one teach one. But in that vein, though, we will be taking a break next month, folks. So the UnitedWeStrike.com marathon won't be airing in December. We'll be back here in January. Unfortunately, I believe the New World Order would be still here in January for us to fight, but that'll give us time to do other projects, catch up with friends and family in our holiday season, and not be encumbered by the pressures of putting on a radio show. I've been here the last 6 years, and the last time I can recall taking a month off was like 2010. We took December off, but I've been here every month since. So it's going to be a welcome break for me too. Again, my website is nwoder.com. And again, it's been a pleasure speaking with all of you hosts tonight here at the roundtable. I respect you and love you all dearly, and appreciate your spending time with us and our audience to share your thoughts, because they're always very intelligent. So until next year, folks, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Death to the new world order.
Thanks a lot, folks. A little demon voice there was fantastic. All right, thank you very much, everybody.